Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, November 1st, 2007. It's about 6:31 a.m., still Central Daylight Time here in the good old USA. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you're expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. I recognize this is early in the morning for some of you, but you sleepyheads, get up and get on the phone and start asking some questions. This is what this program's about. At other times, you may call 903-551-2186. That's when we're off broadcast. That's our regular number for the studio, and you can give that a call and just leave a message there. Of course, you may send us email at any time to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Well, good morning, everyone. That's our introduction. How do you like the price of oil? Now, I have friends who are complaining about the price of oil because they know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to creep into the price of gasoline soon. And, of course, they're blaming the oil companies. Now, folks, understand something right now, that companies are in business for one reason and one reason only, and that's to enhance the value of the business to the shareholders. In other words, that is to create wealth. And to create wealth for those people who have invested in that business. That's what business is for. That's what drives business. Nothing else. It's not customer service. It's not service to the community. It's not providing a product that is needed or innovation. That are all vehicles from which a corporation increases its wealth and transfers that wealth to the investors. That's what companies are in business for. If it sounds mean and rotten, you figure out a different way to do it. There is no other way, no other better incentive than people's individual responsibility to make money for themselves and survive. Now, so when the oil companies, if the oil companies can charge $950 instead of $95 for a barrel of oil, they would do it. And ladies and gentlemen, I would applaud them. Let me say that again. I would applaud them. I think this thing is a little bit too loud. I'm going to tone it down a bit. Now, you say, well, Joe, you sound very mean, cold, cool. You must be one of these mongers that sit home and just count your money all day and just take bats and $1,000 bills and just, you know, look down on the poor people. Absolutely not. You know that's not where I'm coming from. My point is this, is if they can charge $950 for a gallon of, they can charge $950 for a barrel of crude, why not? That means that's what the market would bear. That's what we are willing. Now, let me use the word again, willing to pay for it. We are willing. No one has a gun to our head, willing to pay for it. Folks, if we all drove three trips less per month, 3%, if we had made 100 trips per month and we rode just three trips less, 3%, the price of gasoline would plummet to all-time lows. The price of gasoline is in our hands, not the oil companies. We elect to pay for the $95 barrel crude. This morning, I was looking at CNBC, and crude is up over $95.51. Viva la free market. I think that's wonderful. People are willing to pay that much. Now, I'm not. I don't drive that much. I don't buy much gasoline. If everyone drove like I did, a gallon of gasoline would be around $23.23. Oil companies don't like me. But I'm not that stupid. I know I appear stupid. I may even sound stupid on the radio. But I'm not that stupid. I don't buy gasoline, very much of it. I don't drive much. I just don't care to drive much. When I do, I have a scooter and a motorcycle, or I take the bus. I don't even own a car. But you know what I do own? I own a hell of a lot of oil company stock. Now, that's not being shrewd or mean or cold or cruel. That's just being smart, financially smart. So let it go. Let it rip. I don't use it. People love to use it. They complain. I love it. I love every minute of it. My point is this, is that the governments are the ones that are creating this crisis, not the oil companies. The oil companies are just taking advantage of a market condition, which is their responsibility to do. If they did not, they would not be fulfilling their fiduciary responsibility to the corporation. And that's what we hire these people for. That's what the stockholders vote for them for. Please understand that. This is not cold, cruel stuff. This is reality. This is the way things work. Now, folks, if there's someone out there who wants to disagree with me, please call in 646-652-4620. You are listening to Liberty Talk Radio on the internet. Now, why is the government responsible for it? Well, on two fronts. Number one, the Federal Reserve, through the permission of the federal government, is printing more and more money, is debasing the dollar. When the dollar gets debased, when we print more money, the dollar gets debased, what happens? When people are accepting dollars for oil, they want more dollars because the dollar is worth less. So if you need to blame someone, blame the Federal Reserve. Their responsibility is to ensure the stability of the dollar. That's not the oil company's job. The oil company's job is to maximize profits. It's return on investment for shareholders, period. Stop blaming the oil companies. Secondly, one reason why there's so much tension in the world is because of our presence in the Middle East. And the cost of that presence in the Middle East is one of the reasons why we are debasing the dollar. Man, you know, to me, this is so simple, it drives me nuts. No one sees this. We create the problem in the Middle East, or we exasperate the problem. No, the problem in the Middle East will always be there. We exasperate it. Then we become the target for these terrorists because of our involvement. It costs us more money. We debase the dollar more by spending money on destructive mechanisms. Then the oil-producing nations say, hey, I want more dollars because your dollar's worth less. So they start taking more dollars. Now, here's the cycle, the circle of violence. The Fed, for example, yesterday, or was it day before yesterday, reduced the Fed funds rate 25 basis points, which is 0.25%. As a result, oil immediately flew over to $94 a barrel. Now it's $95. Well, we buy 70% of our oil overseas. At $95 a barrel, that increases our trade deficit. as our trade deficit gets increased, plus we print more money, the oil-producing nations get skeptical about the value of the dollar. They insist on more money for the same barrel of oil, and justifiably so, because the dollar is worth less. Now, we are spending more and more money, more and more deficit money, on maintaining a fleet, maintaining the occupations and whatever in the Middle East that further devaluates the dollar. They ask for more money. Why are we blaming the oil companies? The oil companies have not a damn thing to do with this thing. They are on for the ride. And the damn collectivists that we have here, these progressive stupid people, and they are stupid. Progressives are really stupid people because they don't want to think. They don't want to know hard reality. They want to know nicey-nicey stuff. Oil companies make oil. Oil pollutes. Thus, the oil companies are bad. Their linear thinking drives me insane. And I wish a progressive would call me now. 646-652-4620. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. Please, I know it's early in the morning. Someone do call in and challenge me. If you don't, I will assume I'm correct, and that's dangerous. All right. Now, enough of that. Enough said about that. I want to talk a little bit about healthcare. Before I do, I'd like to set the stage, which is also going to sound incredibly cruel and rotten. Okay? And I know everything I say sounds cruel. That's why the progressives are so popular today, because everything they say sounds so nicety nice, good, warm, and cozy. Hold on one second, please. I just needed to take a little swig of coffee. Thank you. You know, I wish I was like Rush Limbaugh, you know, and those other guys, and where they had a staff of people doing all the work for them. This is a lot of work for me. And then I have to do everything myself. And I even have to take a break when I want to swig on a cup of coffee. I don't even get a commercial. And very little music in between. All right, let me start by saying this about healthcare. Healthcare is an individual responsibility. As when we are growing up in a family, we have someone providing for us. For example, when I was very young, I remember my mother taking me to the dentist and hated going. And I never brushed my teeth properly. I always had a lot of cavities, and I always had, terrible teeth. But I still have all my teeth, by the way, because I've been taking care of them. And, of course, when I was sick, you know, she would call the doctor. And back in the old days, the doctor would come to the house and, you know, give me a shot or whatever, or cough medicine. And usually it was just a bad cold or virus or a flu or something like that. You know, you felt like hell, but you eventually survived most of it. But then you grew up, and then you went out on your own. At this point, we had to make decisions for ourselves. Now, when we make those decisions for ourselves, they are choices that we make. They're economic decisions as well as personal decisions. And every personal decision is an economic decision. So, for example, if I decide to get married and have children, would I not sit down and say, well, let's say I am working, I am making $15 an hour. I have a job that's not 100% secure. I mean, there's a possibility I'm doing well on my job, but I may lose my job. The woman I'm marrying, you know, may or may not work, or whatever the case may be. I mean, you look at all the factors, and you say, well, now, if my child gets sick, how am I going to pay for it? You know, it is at that point that you make the decision whether or not you are prepared. Not whether you're going to have eventually, but whether or not you are prepared to have children. Now, that's a decision you make. Am I prepared to have children? Now, if my employer has no medical plan, and medical insurance is beyond my financial means, that's a good indication that I should not have children. Now, if I was marrying a woman who worked for the federal government and her job was about guaranteed, it is guaranteed, no one ever loses their job with the government, it's almost impossible, and she had excellent health insurance, but she and she has agreed to work there for literally the next 20 years until the child is grown and gone and out of college or whatever, then maybe you can make that decision and say, well, we are pretty well self-assured that we have the money, the means, and the security in healthcare to provide for this child. I mean, these are all decisions we make. I don't have to go through the whole gamut. There's a million different combinations. The problem is that people get married and they have children. They go, oh, Bob, how are we going to pay for this? Well, I don't know. Geez, you know, maybe we should vote for Hillary Clinton. She's going to have universal health care. That's not the way to run the airlines. Now, we would not have a health care crisis. Well, we don't have a health care crisis, quite frankly. We have a political crisis. But we would not be in the position that we're in if we took personal responsibility. First of all, if we took personal responsibility and a politician brought up the subject or the issue of health care, we would tell him to shut up. We're not interested. But it seems that's all we're interested in. We are interested in what the politicians have to say about health care. Health care happens to be our personal responsibility, not the politicians. Now, there will always be exceptions. But in a country over 300 million people, we can handle the exceptions very easily. There are charitable organizations. There are the emergency rooms. There are free clinics. We can handle the exceptions. The problem that we have here in America today is that the exception is now the norm. When the exception becomes the norm, we're in trouble. And government cannot fix it. Government has never, ever been able to fix anything. Government only exasperates it. Politicians do things not to make things better for you and I, but to secure their own position. When they do that, we pay for it, folks. That's what our politicians should be saying about health care. Mary, you want to have kids? That's fine. You better have a damn good job, and you better have plenty of money for health care, because sure, the sun rises tomorrow, your child's going to get sick, you'll have to go to a doctor, and it's going to cost you a fortune. Any questions about that, Mary? And Bob? But no, we don't do that. We take the exception, the few people who don't have health care, and we apply it to the entire nation. Then we really bastardize a situation that is muddled in the first place. It is beyond comprehension, our healthcare system. And not because of our system, because of the government system. If we got the government totally out of healthcare, and everyone paid their own way, we would have a competitive environment in which innovation would prevail. Innovation doesn't prevail because government is providing, and we are slowly but surely approaching rationing. Now, this subject gets me hot, as you know, as you can tell, because I am so sick and tired of the progressives saying that we need universal health care. They are idiots. Universal health care means rationing of health care. It does nothing to innovate, to invigorate the innovation in the healthcare industry. It stagnates. It cartelizes. It politicizes. It destroys the healthcare system. Now, the only reason why the European healthcare system is, quote, better than ours is because they only have one. But it is not the best. They're all going broke. every single country is going broke. If their healthcare system was so damn good, and they have no armies, they have basically no national defense at all in foreign countries, in Germany and France anymore. I mean, it's a minuscule part of their GDP. But their healthcare is costing them so dearly, and their social network is costing them so dearly, those countries are all going bankrupt, together with the United States. And we're going bankrupt for other reasons, including healthcare. None of the world currencies are worth a damn anymore. This morning I saw gold at $792 an ounce. And folks, that's cheap. I'll be on this radio someday, and it will be well over $1,000. In fact, I can say this. It'll be well over $2,000, and I will be talking on the air. And then what are we going to do about that? Who are we going to blame then? Let's blame the gold miners for that. I like to, the chip, the S-chip program, and I love S-chip, they call it. It's the State Children's Health Insurance Program. This is Hillary care, basically. Now, here's the logic behind this stupid program for stupid people. It would require 22.4 million, listen to this, folks, 22.4 million new smokers will be needed to finance the S-chip program by 2017. In other words, the S-chip program is said to discourage smoking because they're going to tax cigarettes. But in order to fund the program, we're going to need 22.4 million new smokers. That's by 2017. That's hundreds of thousands of smokers every year, additional smokers, to maintain the program. So, if in fact it works and people are discouraged smoking because of the tax, the program automatically goes in the hole, and then we are going to be taxed for it. And folks, the sorrowful part of that program is that it's good for people who are making up to $62,000 a year and cover some adults. Well, that's a bastardized universal health care system. Now, in addition to the fact that why should one industry pay for health care? Why should an employer in the state of Massachusetts, employers of more than 10 people, must pay, according to the Massachusetts healthcare system, must provide healthcare coverage or pay a penalty? Now, this is whatever happened to a free nation. Now we have the states telling employers that they must have insurance, what type of insurance, and how much they should pay. What the hell is this? This is a communist country. This is not free America. Free America, we should be able to tell the government, state and government, federal and otherwise, go to hell, drop dead, leave me alone. I'm an employer. We don't have that here now. Now you have that 10 or more employees. Now just think of this for a second. You have 9 employees. Right? You want to expand. If you expand, you go to 10 employees. And then what happens? Now you're liable for all these programs. So what you do is a 10th employee becomes a contract employee. Now people say, well, these employers are so mean. They're not providing jobs for people. They're not putting them on the payroll. They're taking them on as contract employees. Well, of course they are. They're not stupid. That's because the government is forcing them to do that. Because every time they put them on, they have to add on more expense. They can't, quite frankly, can't afford it. So they take people part-time, and they take them as contract laborers. Instead of having one person do a job, they hire 3 people from 3 contact agencies, and they divvy up the job that way. One works Monday and Tuesday, the other one works Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the other one works Friday and maybe a weekend shift. And they get away. They only have 9 employees on the books. Now, we don't have to have time. In fact, I'm going to go into the Massachusetts healthcare system on our next program on Sunday. Sunday, November 4th. Sunday, November 4th at 6:30, at 8 o'clock, rather, at 8 o'clock, we're going to discuss Mitt Romney's program, and we're going to continue to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton's favorite program, the S-CHIP program for children, which is one of the most insane, stupid programs, muddled, and it's not even for children anymore. It's just about for everybody. But she is so popular because she's so good, and people like me are so damn mean. It is costing us. It is costing us. You know, it's costing us more than our money. It's costing us more than poor health care. It is costing our liberty. It's costing our freedom. We are becoming entrapped in a government that is embracing every aspect of our lives, and we need to shake it off. We need to start saying, no, we don't want any more government. When are we going to start doing that, folks? I changed my party affiliation from independent here in the state of Oklahoma to Republican, and I did so I can vote for Ron Paul. I contend, now, I would love to see a pure libertarian, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Ron Paul stands a chance. That's why I did it. Be very honest with you. My libertarian friends are furious with me. But he's a libertarian. And I'll tell you this. If you don't vote for Ron Paul for president, you'd be foolish to vote for anyone. Because no matter who you vote for, it's going to be the same old thing. Just the same old crap. And please don't listen to these people on TV. Oh, please, just don't listen to them. Read good stuff. Go to the Future of Freedom Foundation website. Go to the Foundation of Economic Education. Go to the American Institute of Economic Research. Go to these independent think tanks who take issues and really take them apart and have no political agenda. And they look at it from a individual responsibility point of view. That's what we should be doing. We're Americans. We're patriots. We're revolutionaries. That's what we have been. That's what we are. Okay? Now, until Sunday, November 4th at 8 o'clock, I hope we hear some more people. Maybe Sunday we'll get some call-ins on this program. And I hope I get some emails. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, folks, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal! The government hates competition. Until next time, and that's Sunday, November 4th, 8 o'clock in the evening, Central Standard Time at that time. We'll turn the clocks back then. You all stay tuned, okay? Thank you very much, and good morning.